Third parak of Brochus, the opening lines, Daf Yud, Zayin, Omid Beis. Misha Meisoy Mutal Lefonov. Literally translated, we said, remember, Meisoy, translated as his dead, is normally to be understood as a close relative. Although later on we'll see in the Gemara, does it have to be only a close relative, or could it be anybody that he's responsible for? But for the moment, we'll translate as Meisoy, his close relative. Mutal Lefonov also needs translation. Again, literally translated, is lying in front of him. So somebody's close relative has just passed away, Rachmana Litzlan, and is lying there in front of him. Potter mikriya shema umin hatfila, o min hatfilin, umikol hamitzvos ha'amurais b'Torah. Is exempt from Kriya Shema, is exempt from Tfilin, and from all mitzvahs of the Torah, there is an exemption. Why is that? So we saw yesterday a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Very, very important. The first Rashi told us, if you have a look at that Rashi again, Lefi Shehu Torud B'machsheves Kfurosei. He is preoccupied with burying his dead, and therefore have a dumya de chosen. It is therefore similar to a chosen de potter mishum tirda de mitzvah. Those two words are critical. According to Rashi, the exemption is because of tirda de mitzvah. As opposed to, if you have a look at the second Tosfos says, potter mikriya shmani brings Yerushalmi. We saw this at the end of yesterday's shir. Yerushalmi says, Mefarish Taima, Omer Rav Bun. Rav Bun says, Ksiv, it says in the Torah, Leman Tizkoir Ad Koli Mechayecho. You should remember all of your life. Yomim Shata Oisek Bechayim, comma. Days that you are involved with live people. Veloy Yomim Shata Oisek Bemesim. And not days that you are involved with dead people, Achi Garsinon, etc., etc. So according to Tosfos, in the name of the Yerushalmi, the exemption is not because of Isaac b'mitzvah or Tirud of the mitzvah. Rather, there is a specific exemption by the Torah on those days that you are Isaac b'mesim. Nothing to do with Tirud of the mitzvah. It is a specific exemption on a day that you are involved with the needs of the dead. You are exempt from mitzvahs. We'll see later on that this may well have a very important nafkimina lahalocha. For the moment, it's two reasons for the same halocha. Back into the Mishnah. So Misha Meisoy Muta Lefonov is indeed exempt from Krishma, Tfilah, etc., etc. Noisei Hamito. Those who carry the coffin, v'chilufeihen, those who exchange position with them, and those who exchange with those who exchange position. What does that mean? Says Rashi, v'chilufeihen, shekein derech, that was the way, that was the norm, shemischalfin, that they would swap. Losses to carry, to bear the coffin, lefisha hakoil chafetzin, because everybody wants, chafetzin means wants, everybody wants lizkois boy to have the zechus of the mitzvah of kvuras hames. So rather than just having a few limited amount of people who bear the coffin, there were people who exchanged them, who swapped. So you had group number one, and then the next group said, one second, we also want to have the zechus, so now let us bear the coffin. And then came the third group and said, let us bear the coffin, and so on and so forth. So that's what it means, chilufei chilufeihen. The ones who swapped, and then the ones who swapped with the swappers, such that everybody could have a chance to be yetzer this mitzvah. So all of them, we need to distinguish now which ones are exempt and which ones are not exempt. So the Mishnah says there are two categories of those who carry the coffin. S שלפני המיטו ו-S שלאחר המיטו. Now, literally translated, those in front of the mito, the bed, the coffin, and those behind it. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Es shelifnei hamito means sheyisasku boi, sheyisasku, with that yud, yisasku, they will be oisik, in the future tense. They're standing in front means they are waiting their turn. They will be oisek, yis asku, in the future, they will be involved. Boy, kashetagia hamito etzlom, when the coffin will reach them. So they're waiting patiently for their turn. When their turn comes, then they will finally be oisek in the mito. It means they're not oisek at the moment, but they will be. As opposed to Rishala Achara Mito Shenosuhu Kvar. La Achara Mito means those who have already carried the Mito. So the way Rashi understands the difference between the Fnei and Achare doesn't just mean geographically where you're standing, it means are you prior or post the mitzvah. Shelefnei Amito means She Yis Asku, they will be Oisek, they haven't had their turn yet. And achar ha-mito means they are after the event, they have already carried the mito. Now, it's understandable, therefore, that this distinction must be made. According to Rashi, as we mentioned before, why is there a patur at all? Because you are a torud the mitzvah. So therefore, it's very understandable that you are torud if you haven't yet been mekayim the mitzvah. So if you're there, patiently standing, waiting for your turn to be Oisek in the mitzvah, then you'll be torud. You'll be preoccupied. Is it coming my way? Is it my turn? I have to carry it properly. Whereas those people who have already carried the mitzvah, they are no longer torud. They've done their job and there's nothing for them to do. So therefore, the distinction between lifnei and acharei at the moment makes good sense. So let's have a look at the Mishnah. There are those who are prior to carrying the mito. They will be oisek, but they haven't done so yet. And there are those la'achar hamito. Those are the two categories. And now the Mishnah tells us what their halachas are. Es shelifnei hamito. Those who are in front, meaning that they will be oisek, but they haven't done so yet. Soirech bohem peturim. If indeed it is necessary, they are needed. There might well be people who haven't yet carried the mito, but they're not needed. We don't need 500 people to carry the mito. So this halacha can only refer to soirech bohem, those who there is a need for them. So if there is a need for them and they really are in line and they're next or coming up soon to carry the mito, then we can appreciate that they are torud b'dvar mitzvah. And therefore, soirech bohem peturim, those who there is a need for them, there is a need for them indeed to carry the mito, they are torud and they are therefore exempt. But the es shela achar mito, those who have already carried, soirech bohem, even if there was a need for them, but they're now post facto, it's after the event. And therefore, chayovin, therefore they are obligated. Says Rashi, shelifnei amito soirech bohem peturim, meaning im tzrichim, if it is necessary l'se'esoi, for their carrying. Se'esoi, their carrying. If they are needed for their services, then peturim. But for shela achar amito, af im tzeirech bohem, even if indeed there is a need for them, chayovim, they are still obligated. Why? Hoyel, since shekvar yotzu yedei chayvoson min hameis. because they have already been yotze their chiyuv with regard to dealing with the dead. Therefore, why would you think they're preoccupied? They might have been preoccupied until this point, but they've done their job. So even if, Rashi's adding that word, af, even if they were needed, but having done the job, there is no need to exempt them from Kriya Shema, etc., etc. Here comes the big chidush. Eilu ve'eilu. These and these. Meaning both groups, even though we just made a distinction with regard to Kriya Shema and Tfilin, the ones who haven't yet carried the mitzvah, but they will do, they indeed are exempt. Those who have carried the mitzvah are not exempt. But however, Eilu ve'Eilu, both this group and that, Paturin min ha-tfilah, are exempt from tfilah. Says Rashi, three words, Delav do'iraisa hi. It's not do'iraisa. So we are making a distinction between Kriya Shema and Tfilin, for example, and other mitzvahs, as opposed to Tfilah. Now, if you look at the opening line again, look at the opening line of the Mishnah. It says, Misha Mesa in Mutalafon of Potom Kriya Shema Umin HaTfilah. Now, do you see by the words Umin HaTfilah, there is a little base that sends us to the margin. The Hagoas HaBach. And if you look at the margin, the Bach says, Shom, the Mishnah Potter Mikriya Shema Min HaTfilin, the Tevas Umin HaTfilah Nimchak. The words Min HaTfilah are erased. So the Bach is editing the Mishnah. The Bach is telling you that on the opening line of the Mishnah, the words Umin HaTfilah should be erased. They should not be there. And now we understand why. Because you see in the Hemshech of the Mishnah that Tfilah is only being discussed at a later point in the Mishnah. So it clearly cannot have been discussed until now. So in the beginning of the Mishnah, we are dealing with mitzvahs do'iraisa, like Kriya Shema, Tfilin, and other mitzvahs. So that's where we make this distinction, even though there is a general exemption, but we must make a distinction between those who have already carried the mitzvah as opposed to those who will do so. Next halacha is the halacha of Tfilah. When it comes to Tfilah, everybody is exempt for reasons that we'll have to discuss in a moment. So that's why the Bach is telling us that in the opening line of the Mishnah, min ha-tfilah must be erased. Now, why?
Can you also read the Mishnah that in the first part, it's shemesa, it's just dealing with kroven. And the second, the Mishnah says, no say, we're dealing with a different type of person. So okay. I didn't think it was necessarily stira, the tfilah part.
Yeah, so that's a good point. So we'll have to get there. We'll have to see who this whole heta of Misha Meisoi, who does that Be'etzem refer to? Is Meisoi, like you said, only if it is his relative? Seems from the Hemshech of the Mishnah that anybody who's involved, and presumably all those people carrying, they're not all relatives of the Meis. Yeah, we'll have to deal with that. Now, with regard to the actual Patur of Tfilah, Eilu Ve'Eilu, we said that what? That everybody is exempt from Tfilah. Not only those who have not yet carried the mitzvah, but also those who have already carried the mitzvah. And Rashi explains that the reason is because tefillah is not do'iraisa. Tefillah is not do'iraisa. And of course, this is l'chayra problematic. So what if tefillah is not do'iraisa, but he's already carried the mitzvah? So which exemption does he have at all? Remember, Rashi tells us that the exemption that we're dealing with is torud b'dvar mitzvah, preoccupied with a mitzvah. Somebody who has already carried the mitzvah is not preoccupied. So why does he suddenly have the exemption of tefillah? Because tefillah is only a derabbanon anyway. So what? What in the world is exempting him from davening? He's finished with the mitzvah. He's no longer carrying the coffin. So let him go to the side and daven. What does Rashi mean to make a distinction between derabbanon and deraisa? The chilek that we normally make between the Rabbanon and the Raisa is that there is more room, obviously, for leniency with regard to those mitzvahs that are the Rabbanon as opposed to the Raisa. That we can all appreciate. But here, l'chaira, there is no reason for leniency, even with regard to davening, because he's already carried the mitzvah and he's no longer torahed. So what in the world is his reason not to daven? Why should he not daven? Rabbi Yosef, does Rabbi Artskol point out this question? Has to be demuted.
I don't remember seeing anything about it.
The distinction that Rashi...
Oh, no.
Thanks.